Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Quick Slants Podcast is brought to you by Nissan. Get to Nissan for big model year-end savings on the last of our 2018s. Shop ChooseNissan.com today. That's ChooseNissan.com. And do it today.
Today on Quick Slants Podcast, the Patriots have acquired the troubled talent Josh Gordon. Gerard Mayo talks from inside the Patriots walls about his knowledge of how a player will assimilate offensively and culturally.
Furthermore, why did the Patriots struggle in Jacksonville defensively? I get into a quote from Pepper Johnson that might reflect some of the thoughts that Gerard will have as well. All that and more on Quick Slants Podcast.
That was strong.
Yeah, but why'd you put your hand up and make that grimace face that you do on the Pepper Johnson thing?
No, I didn't see this. I didn't see the statement. Wow, Pep's my guy. What do you mean?
I know. And I thought he had a great quote a few weeks ago.
What'd he say? Let's hop right in there.
You want to get on that first?
All right, we can go in your order.
All right, Josh Gordon first. Love it.
Let's start Jacksonville first a little bit and then change the quick page.
No, you go with the most recent, most important and newsworthy thing first.
Well, I didn't.
What's your reaction to Josh Gordon's signing by the Patriots?
My first reaction is, wow, I called it. I did call it.
So it all comes back to you. It's not about Josh Gordon.
You know, I like the move. You know what? He has to play 10 games, you know, for them.
Reverse to a seventh round pick.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a low risk thing. And from Josh Gordon's perspective, he might be the smartest guy in the room. Listen, whatever he did, I don't know what he did, right? But it got him out of Cleveland and got him an opportunity to play for a contender.
All right. On the other hand, this dingbat has been playing since 2012, hasn't played anything resembling a full season since 2013, when he was one of the two best receivers in football. And since then, by his own admission, by his own decision-making, by the fact that he has the disease of alcoholism, and he continues to battle it. He's also got some anxiety issues. He tries to battle those. But I don't think he's been his own best friend, and he said that multiple times.
Right.
You know, he had set himself up, Jason McCourty said on Monday's Quick Slants, you know what? Hey, John, can we play that noise from Jason right here?
When he was there last year, he was at work on time. He was working hard. Really seemed like he wanted to get back in and do everything the right way. So hopefully coming here, that'll be the same attitude, same approach coming into New England and coming into our locker room.
So there you have it. Jason saying that everything he saw from Josh Gordon last year was a guy who was trying to come back. But then his training camp ends. He says, I'm not coming in. I got to get my mind right. Comes into training camp August 18th, and by the second game of the season, he's got a hamstring injury and shows up late. So,
well, let's first.
So he's got no money.
Right.
He still isn't even a free agent. But those are the things. These are the things that have put him where he is. So,
yeah.
Sorry.
I want to go first to substance abuse. Right. Like, that is a marathon and not a sprint. And sometimes, like to your point, when guys start to run up on these. You know, well, I need some money, right? It's like, I'm going to sprint to be clean. And that's not what it is. And I hope that's not what this is, this go around with Josh Gordon. But bringing Gordon in, think about all of the former Browns players that are on the current roster, right? The Hoyers of the world, the Jason McCourtys of the world, the Sheltons of the world.
Great point.
You would be crazy not to think that Bill didn't sit each and every one of those guys down and say, listen, I'm thinking about making this move. And Bill is known for doing that inside the walls.
Can I ask you this? Is there ever a point when you're an employee of the team and you say, I have my own stuff to worry about. This guy is a train wreck. Why do I have to wet nurse him? I know it's for the good of the football team. But there comes a point where you say, I'm an adult. He's an adult. I empathize, but I have a job that I'm trying to
do. You know, some people might feel that way, but as a leader and as a captain, I always felt like, listen, whatever's going to help the team, you know, win football games, I want to help out. If it's me sitting here talking to Josh Gordon myself, Or if I'm Tom Brady sitting there talking to Josh Gordon, like, these are the expectations. Let's just go out here and see what we can do. You know, I think
and to me,
if you're a leader and you're not a selfish player, you'll do that. I don't know if that's true everywhere.
And to me, it's not necessarily – that is specific to Josh Gordon. Say Dante Hightower had an issue, Brandon
right.
King had an issue, any of the players that you were alongside.
Totally.
I wouldn't say, well, you'd have a job to do. No, those are guys who have been diligent. I think people have been banging their heads against the wall to help Josh Gordon for going on more than half a decade.
Right.
So you're just the next in line, I would think. Not you specifically, always, but whoever gets asked.
It's always been in Cleveland, though. Maybe a change of scenery. Maybe, I'm just telling you, I feel like losing that much and doing it might cause anyone to start drinking.
You were on the team. You were on the team in 2013 when the Patriots played Cleveland, and Josh Gordon had a tremendous game in the latter portions of that season. What do you think of him as an athlete? How quickly do you think he'll be able to, aside from assimilating into the culture and showing up to work on time and useful?
You know, first of all, you know, he looks the part. When you see a guy like that, like 6'3", you know, just jacked up like that, I mean, he looks the part of a, you know, of a beast. If he's able to channel that Josh Gordon on the field, I mean, magic could happen with this team. There's no better week to come and learn the offense than going against Detroit and their porous defense, because they look kind of a little porous right now, right? So if you're gonna try to test them out, this might be the best week to do it. It would be unreasonable to sit here and think that all of a sudden Josh Gordon's going to come in these next 14 games and catch for 1,500 yards or something like that. That's unreasonable. But if he could be 80%, and that's, I know that's an arbitrary number, but 80% of that Pro Bowler Josh Gordon, and then you get Julian back, this offense looks pretty
insane.
And this then you get Cannon back at that right tackle spot,
and you have,
and the offense looks pretty good.
And now it's Gronk one-on-one.
Oh,
or it's
totally.
Julian one-on-one.
Exactly.
Or it's you run out of defenders, and then Chris Hogan can be who Chris Hogan ought to be.
Exactly. And even Patterson, right? Because right now, Patterson looks poo. Right? I'll sit here and tell you. He looks poo. But Patterson's not even a number two guy. He's a gimmick guy that you need other guys to really take the attention away from. But if he's able to get out there one-on-one against some of these DBs.
Like, and doesn't backpedal and do a set backwards somersault. Woo!
Now that's an athlete. No, but seriously, those, like, each guy that's able to move down that pole, like, is not being, you know, a focus of the defense. I mean, this offense starts to look pretty good. And it was great to see Michelle in the game, right?
Yeah, he was.
He ran pretty hard. I thought he did. I thought he ran pretty hard.
He had a 15-yard run that he busted up the middle.
But even on those short runs, though, he looked like he was running. He turned his shoulders. He was running with power. It was good to see him out there on the field.
You were here when Ocho was signed, Haynesworth was signed, Tebow was signed, any number of players who would become focal points for the media.
Not for the opposing team, isn't that funny?
Right.
When they got here. At one point in their careers,
they were
focal points, you know, on the other side of the ball. But when they got to this, when they got to New England, I mean, they were just a guy.
What's the conversation that Bill has with the team about these players as they come in?
Oh, no, there's no conversation with the team per se, but there are conversations with guys who this person would either play beside or that side of the ball, right? So he's not in there like, listen, we're thinking about bringing in X, Y, and Z, because then all of a sudden if it doesn't happen, it's like, yeah, then you have leaks and all
after
that.
After he comes in, though, does
after
he say to you guys,
in?
Look, everybody be nice to this guy and don't give the media
shit?
No, he says,
hey, stand up, introduce yourself. Josh Gordon will speak for himself. Don't say anything about Josh Gordon. He will speak for himself, which I think is the right way to approach it, right?
Which I think is too.
Do we even know if he's here or if
he
I'm
has
sure
not
here.
Yet arrived?
Oh, he's not. Okay.
According to someone I spoke to, who spoke to somebody who would know.
Is that why we're doing this podcast at Logan Airport? I was wondering why you wanted to do it at Logan
Airport.
Well,
no, because I got baggage claim. It's right over there. You're silly. But I think if you look at the Patriots are well-equipped to be the focal point of conversation, whether it's Brady or Deflategate or Bill or on down. You guys have dealt with the swirl of interest in media. So you're able to take that on without it being the distraction that it might be, without people, sitting at their locker in the media and go, yeah, he's going to be unbelievable. We're unstoppable
right
now, which I always think is the goofiest thing to do.
Oh, totally. And the thing about it, this team, I mean, we've said it all along, right? We know this team will be a lot different 6 weeks from now than they are today. even if Josh Gordon didn't sign. They don't, I mean, they just don't look that good right now. The offense kind of got it together, but the defense looked a little suspect.
I wrote a column this week.
Did you?
Yeah, I wrote a bunch, actually. Just kind of bringing into focus the fact that they are going through the junk drawer of wide receivers around the NFL.
Right.
If they had held on to Brandon Cooks, then you'd have an outside receiver who had over 1,000 yards receiving, over 70 catches. And people are like, well, they had to get rid of him. They couldn't have paid him all that money. I understand that.
But you could have held him a little
longer. But you didn't. And which is exactly what they did with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
They minimized their return on Jimmy Garoppolo, just get a second-round pick. And then they maximized return on Cooks. Meanwhile, you didn't trade Garoppolo when you had the best quarterback in the league. And you did trade Cooks when you had nothing behind him that was established. And it even got worse because Mitchell couldn't come back, and then Edelman got suspended. So I just think that they've had some head-scratching decisions here.
No, I think
so. That's what I wrote.
I mean, I think that's a great point.
Yes.
But I also think, and that's from our perspective, we're outside of the four walls of one Patriot place. But at the same time, that makes you think there's even more to the Jimmy Garoppolo trade. Like, there's more to that story to get so little that we just will never know until Bill writes a book.
And when he does write it, he's going to say, you know what?
That Tommy Curran.
It was really important. Was really important that they wanted us to move on from Jimmy. You know, they didn't say we had to trade him. They said it'd probably be a good idea. So we just went ahead and did that. I mean, when you look at Robert Kraft's reaction where he has to go to Jonathan and say, is this okay that he just got it too? When you look at Kyle Shanahan's reaction where he says to John Lynch, I think he's joking, but I think he's offering it to us for a two. And nobody else gets a call. That to me smacks with Bill Belichick saying, "Yeah, you know what? I'll just trade him for a two. They want him gone. I'll trade
him."
Then let's see how Robert likes that.
And it's also saying, "I like Jimmy G, so I'm going to trade him to a nice place,"
which doesn't really mesh with what's best for the football team.
Totally.
So,
people matter.
The pepper quote to Dom Constantino of Deadspin a couple weeks
ago.
Great
Italian name.
It is. And he got him on the phone, and Pepper said in talking about the defense was about the Super Bowl, that's why neither team could stop each other. What bothers Bill is what he does to other people. So, yeah, quick passes, braiding getting the ball out fast and all that stuff. The Patriots had a linebacker problem in the Super Bowl, which was said at this time last year. You don't have Hightower, so it's going to be a bigger problem. So if you put two running backs out there at the same time, how much of a nightmare is that going to be for Belichick? Bill never likes two running backs. He never liked playing against two skillful running backs. It's a problem because he can't really cover them with his different combinations of coverages with the secondary. The linebackers have to get them, and you need good linebackers. When I talked to Devin McCourty on Monday night in Quick Slants, he had this to say late in the show about the difficulty in expecting Fournette and then finding the big back wasn't going to be out there.
I think Bortles have 45 passes.
Yeah, 44.
Yeah, so I think like coming into the game, that was kind of the last thing we expected. We talked last year, they led the league in rushing, I think in yards and attempts. So it was just a little different game that we needed to adjust to a lot sooner than we did. You know, came out, really spread us, throwing the ball a lot more. It was just something that we needed to adjust to quicker.
So Devin's saying that, look, we had to switch there. We went from expecting Fournette, and the next thing you know, it's a different kind of game with the two backs, and we didn't adjust quickly enough. Do you see that as being something?
Well, they knew. You pretty much knew on Friday he wasn't going to play, right? You guys were already put it. So it's not like
that. He was questionable,
leaning towards not playing. So I don't think that was.
They said they played passively on defense.
They played so, and that goes. And I haven't been reporting this because I'm not a reporter, but you guys have been reporting all year that the Brian Flores defense is simpler, right? And then I saw one play where Geno Grissom had a free shot. No one was even there to block him. It was a missed assignment on the offensive line by the Jaguars. Missed assignment. And he just stopped and was hesitating. And I'm like, if this
And he didn't even put his hands up,
He
right?
didn't even put his hands up. He just literally stopped moving. And in a simple defense, these guys are like, we're moving fast. We're stunting fast. We're just getting in a gap and going. And that made me think when I saw that play, it sticks out in my mind. But it made me think, like, maybe these guys are thinking way too much.
But that was the lament previously with Matt. We're thinking too much.
No, but I'm saying, coming
maybe
into this year, everyone was saying that the defense is simpler, 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 faster, 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 and they just didn't look fast. I thought everyone looked pretty slow.
Why the crazy cushion on the back end? Were those cushions? See, this is a question I have. If you go against a quarterback who's not terribly accurate and you say, you know what, we're going to make him make some throws, does it sink into you as a defender sometimes to say, I'm going to play off and let's see if he connects them? The next thing you know, this ass quarterback has gotten into some kind of a rhythm.
Yeah.
And he's making throws.
But he really wasn't even making tough throws.
No, he wasn't making tough
ones.
They
were like, I felt like the ball was in the air for a long time on some of these throws. And it's like, I don't know. I can't even answer that question. I don't know why they were so far off. I don't know. Just, maybe the heat melted some brain cells.
It wasn't what you were looking for. Did you feel as you watched the game and as you've reflected on it since that what we saw was something that could be rectified, or was it?
Oh, totally. I totally think they'll fix this, right? And I expect them to come out against Detroit. And even though Matt Stafford kind of picked it up a little bit last game, I think they're going to come out this week and really they're playing indoors and it's not 105 degrees. I think you'll see a better showing from the defense and the offense as well.
Oh, Brady just murders people indoors.
And it's all about starting fast, though. Like that game, they started so slow. And it was just like trying to, you know, you ever see like, remember the old school, like manual transmissions, the old school? It's like seeing someone who doesn't know how to drive a manual, but they're driving an 18-wheeler, right? That's how it was. That's how it was watching the Patriots start off. Seriously, I felt like they just couldn't get going.
Rack that one, Renee.
I just felt like they couldn't get going. I don't know.
No, you're exactly right. And
they still had a chance,
and
though.
And that's what Brady said. I mean, that to me, there was a hit by Hightower over the middle that I said, whoa, he saw it. I think it was D.D. Westbrook in half. And then on the next play, Gilmore forced the fumble. Do we make too much of hits igniting the rest of the defense?
Oh, not at all. You're like, everyone's like, all right, someone has to make a play. And you hear it when things aren't going well, you hear players saying, like, I would say it all the time, like, hey, someone has to make a play because they come in bunches. They come in bunches. It's like, listen, one person makes a play, like the Super Bowl, when Hightower made that strip sack, mm-hmm. and then it's like the momentum is a real thing. As phony as it sounds, it's like momentum is a real thing. It starts to creep in your head. It starts to creep in your head like, well, maybe the momentum is going the other way, even though it may not even be real.
And you could smell it, and you could smell that in Jacksonville until the strip sack by Dante Fowler. Do you think Jacksonville's legit?
I think I definitely think they're legit. I think we all know they're pretty legit. They on defense, well, on offense, they have, I mean,
guys played out of their ass.
They did.
Oh my God.
But on defense, when you look at that defense they have players at every level. Two good cornerbacks and Bouye and Ramsey. And Ramsey. You have Gibson in the back.
Yep.
At the linebacker, you have Smith. You have Smith
and Jack.
Yeah, and Jack, right? And then on the defensive line, you have they're stupid good. Fowler, Darius, Campbell, like
Ngakoue. It's your favorite team to say.
I know. I just feel like, yeah, I don't know, man. They're pretty stacked on D with some young players that can really get after it. So I think if they come up here to New England, though, and play a playoff game here, I'm still picking New England to beat in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, I mean, look.
I am picking New England to beat those guys.
And that's the weird thing, and we'll wrap it up here. For now, I got to go do a Mike Lombardi interview. But to button it up, if you look at this is what Josh Gordon could do. If you put Josh Gordon engaged and capable and able to run maybe even a quarter of the playbook dependably on this team, and Jacksonville plays the Patriots again, you can't triple Gronk. You can't double Gronk.
Oh, right? I know. And then Ramsey's like, I'm going to shut Josh Gordon down. So now the attention is like, you can't put all of that attention on one person. Spread that attention out.
And the interesting thing is, how great would that battle be to watch if Gordon can get his stuff together and play at a high level? Jalen Ramsey against Josh Gordon. So
let's manage our expectations.
No, I know. Yeah. Despite the fact he's been a bad employee, despite the fact that I think he's been given a million chances, and I think he's gamed the system a little bit, I'm rooting for the guy.
Me too.
It's no good when you're trying to battle that shit. No good.
No good.
No good. Well, once again, an incredibly illuminating conversation between Gerard Mayo and I. We bring you a little further illumination right now with Michael Lombardi from The Athletic, former Patriots executive, even more importantly, a former Cleveland Browns executive who got to know Josh Gordon when he was an exec in Cleveland. Here's that interview that I have with Josh Gordon that was on Quick Slants the television show. Mike Lombardi is a longtime friend, confidant, and former Patriots executive, and Mike, a Cleveland Browns executive during the period in which Josh Gordon was there. What can you tell us about Josh Gordon first as a player?
Well, look, Josh Gordon as a player is what Jason McCourty just said. He's big, he's long, he's got great hands, he's got quickness to get in and out of his cuts, and he's got speed. I mean, I think if you can remember in 2013, he caught a slant against Aqib Talib and took it to the house. And, you know, Talib's not a little guy, and he pushed him off and he was able to get there. Talent has never been the concern when it comes to Josh Gordon. He's got immense talent to play in the game. He can build speed down the field, and he's got excellent eye-hand coordination. He does things receivers have to do. He catches it, he runs with it, and he makes plays.
Before we get to the level of dependability the Patriots can expect from him, can we first talk about how well he might assimilate in terms of learning the playbook and being able to be given a package of plays that he'll be able to execute? Has that been a chore for him previously?
You know, I think more than anything, he's going to line up at X or Z. He's going to line up on the outside, and he's going to force the opponent to have to deal with him. They don't know what he knows. They don't know what he can run. They don't know what he's able to do. They're going to have to defend him, and they're going to have to, you know, put somebody out there and roll their coverage to him and be concerned about just vertical routes down the field. And so that alone is going to open up some things. Right now, they don't really have that. You know, right now that explosiveness on the outside, the numbers, is not quite there. They need it to be better. And I think he'll certainly give them, and I'm not calling him a decoy by any means, Tom. I'm calling him somebody that they're going to have to deal with. And as he grows in the playbook and he understands more, he can add more to that. But right now, I think that'll spread the field. Think of him as, you know, a three-point shooter. You've got to guard the line, and you've got to run out to the line, and I think that's what he'll be able to provide in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
What's your level of confidence that it will work out here with the Patriots? You know Bill very well, obviously, for a long time. What are his expectations right now? We're just taking a shot on it, or do they put their chips on the table and say, he'll do great?
No, I think everything's wait-and-see approach. I mean, look, let's face it. This is a situation where, you know, Josh has never been able to handle the volume of work, and certainly he's about to get involved in it. And, you know, it's going to be up onto him. I mean, he's always been in a program where they've catered to him, and now he's walking into an arena that doesn't cater to anything but winning. And so he's going to have to change who he is, and he's going to have to get his life in order off the field to be able to maintain it. It's not going to be hard for him to do it one day. It's not going to be hard for him to do it 2 days. It's going to be the volume. And I wrote about this in The Athletic today, about the volume that is always what gets players. It isn't they can't do it once or twice. They can. It's volume. It's why Navy SEALs don't take everybody. It's why they have all those helmets in the quad at budge training. It's because the volume of the work that it goes through to become a Navy SEAL wears people down. And this is what could concern you if you're Josh Gordon.
All right, Michael, that's unbelievable insight. We appreciate it. Pick up Gridiron Genius, and please read Michael's information because it's always top tier. All right, big week. We're going to try and get back and circle up a little bit more with some guests later in the week regarding Josh Gordon. Hopefully, we'll get a guest from Cleveland and give you a special podcast later in the week. And maybe look a little bit more forward to this game against the Detroit Lions and former defensive coordinator Matt Patricia. Peace.